This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. And the message you hear today is the coming victorious Christ. Oh, my friend, the coming victorious Christ. What is your hope this morning, today, tonight? What is your hope? The scripture says, if in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable. But I have folks come to me, they're disappointed and kind of discouraged. And I tell them, look up, our redemption draweth nigh. The coming victorious Christ, the message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr., all of his messages are available on CDs or printed page. And I'll give you that information at the close of the message. You stay tuned.
In our last week's study on the Antichrist, we saw the case, truth versus error, brought to the climax, and everything standing silent before the presence of the Lord, waiting for judgment, as recorded in Revelation 8:1. Before we go further and take up the study of God's judgment upon Satan and his kingdom, let us go back and notice the rapture of the saints, because we have seen them as part of the courtroom scene in the body of the enthroned elders who encircle the administrative throne where God the Father reigns in majestic sovereignty. It is His honor and majesty, His glory and reputation that are at stake. We know that these 24 elders are the glorified saints because first they are clothed in white raiment. Revelation 4:4 says, where it also says, they have golden crowns on their heads. Then verse 10, Revelation 4:10 says, that they fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast thy crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Then Revelation 5:5 tells John not to weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Read that story in the 4th and 5th chapters of Revelation. Only the glorified saints have the full and blessed assurance of faith fulfilled by sight. Then on down in verse 8, the elders again fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now here is the significant token that identifies them as the saints in glory. Listen. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Revelation 5:9. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This settles the question that the saints are glorified and seated in heaven on thrones judging the world, and they function in this scene as a juror body. A juror does not decide questions of law, but simply questions of fact. The jurors are also always selected on the basis of competency. First, of ability to perceive facts, and second, that such facts are within the range of the individual's common knowledge and experience. Before the court convenes, the juror list is consulted, and the jurors are summoned, qualified, and sworn in. We call your attention to the fact that God's children are judicially qualified to sit on this trial by bringing each one as an individual before the great judgment tribunal and under Holy Spirit conviction, teaching that sinner what sin is, what he is by nature, and the nature of justice and judgment, leading him to pass sentence on himself. At this time, I want us to notice how they are summoned to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to attend to the preliminary preparation for that great event, for instruction and robing, crowning, and the presentation of the golden vials of odors are the prayers and tears that have been bottled up until this time. I tell you, my friends, I wish you'd read those fourth and fifth chapters of Revelation. They're packed full of truth. And then read on through the 19th chapter. If they're not hard to understand, when the seed opens in that fourth chapter of Revelation, the saints are already seated around the throne. But how did they get there? On the night of the betrayal, while the Lord Jesus still sat at supper with his 11 disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Here the bridegroom is whispering in the ear of his beloved, "I've got to leave you for a while, but I'll slip back one day after I've prepared a home for you. And I'll steal you away and take you to be by my side forever." And that's some affection, isn't it? When the Jews rejected him as their Messiah, he wept over Jerusalem, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thee together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Both of these prophecies are promises of Christ's return to this earth. The last one was spoken to the scribes and Pharisees, the representatives of the Jewish nation, and was a public announcement. The other was spoken in the upper room, in the air of his bride. 7 years separates these two promises, Christ coming for his bride, and Christ coming to the nation Israel, following the time of Jacob's trouble, when desolations and chastisement brings Israel to her extremity, when she cries, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." In Luke 21:34, Christ warns the Jews, listen, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Notice that the Jews are warned to watch, because he said, "The Lord's return will come as a snare upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." If you'll read carefully Matthew 24, Luke 17, Luke 21, Christ is giving the signs of his second coming to the Jews. As we said, this is his coming at the end of the tribulation period. Nowhere is the church told to look for signs of his coming, but always to look for him. That is, for his coming. Now, let me, if I can find it here, let me read you something right quick here in 1 Thessalonians. Listen. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. This is 1 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9, and 10. Now listen. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now that's the exhortation to the believer. All the epistles of Paul to the church speak of him and speak of his coming at any moment. Not only are the saints a body of judicially justified sinners, but the church is the bride of Christ, and she is looking anxiously, eagerly, expectantly for him. Every born-again believer looks for the imminent coming of his Lord from glory. He's not looking for the Antichrist. He's not looking for any signs. He's looking, waiting, longing, praying for the coming of his Lord. This great truth is taught throughout the Scriptures to the heart of every believer. As we said, the 24 elders spoken of in Revelation 4:4 represents the saints of the Old and New Testament seated around the throne of God, clothed in white raiment with crowns of gold on their heads. The church age is over at the close of the 3rd chapter of Revelation. The 4th chapter of Revelation opens with these words. Now, my friends, nowhere in Revelation, beginning with the 4th chapter, do you see the church anymore. Listen, after this, that is after the church age, a door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter, of things will take place after the church age. John's ascension to heaven to see the things which must be hereafter, or after these things, is symbolic of the rapture or the ascension of the church. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and read. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Here we see the Lord coming for his saints. He lays aside his priestly robe for the time being, decks himself in the robes of a bridegroom, and descends from heaven. How? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of state belonging to the kingdom of God. Look at the royal cottage. Believer, lift up your ears and listen. Listen. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchants? Who is this? It is King Solomon, the King of Peace, the Great King, referring there to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being experts in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. The Lord Jesus Christ, our royal priest, is coming after his bride. He is coming himself, not another. The Lord himself, not another. He is setting out from the portal of glory with the angelic guard surrounding him. The archangel It's the head of the procession in the atmosphere. We hear the voice of the archangel giving the command. The trumpet of state lifts up its voice in one long continuous peal that wakes up the dead, and shouts of joy echoes and re-echoes throughout the corridors of heaven. It is not only the shout of joy, but praise God, it's the shout of victory. Because the triumphant king has come to take his bride unto himself. What a day! What an hour! What a moment! The body of every sleeping believer comes forth from its grave in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no sickness, no sin, no defect, no death, no dying in these bodies. These bodies are not naked. They are not come forth wearing a shroud, but they are clothed in the glory of the Lord Himself, the righteousness of saints. Then we which are alive at His coming shall be changed. In other words, we shall be given our glorified bodies without dying. There will be one generation of believers living when Christ comes, who will not pass through the door of death, but will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and receive our glorified bodies like Christ. 1 Corinthians 51:54. No wonder we hear the shout. Listen to God's word. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Here, he says here at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound. This is the Lord of heaven announcing the closing age of grace and the ushering in of the judgment day. Now let's not confuse this trumpet mixed up with the seven trumpets, judgment trumpets, given to the angel priest that stand before the face of God, or the angels of His presence. The seven trumpets of Revelation are judgment trumpets, of which you'll find the type in the siege of Jericho when God's judgment fell upon that city. But the last trumpet in waking the dead, in changing the believer, is the sounding of the closing of this age and the announcing of the time of judgment. Now let's notice why the shout of victory as the Lord comes for His bride. Listen to God's word. Listen, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this mortal, when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought the past the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The body of the believer has been held in bondage of sin and the grave of death so long. What a shout of victory! When the prison bars are broken and the redeemed come forth, then as the believer is changed and receives his glorified body, when mortality falls from us as a shroud and immortality clothes us in all its glory, what a victory! No longer do we have to drag this old body of sin around with us, crying, who shall deliver us from this body of death? We pray, we can praise Him who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that marvelous? You can shout all over God's creation, hallelujah, 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 the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Then those who are raised from the dead in Christ, and those who have received their glorified bodies without dying, shall be called together to meet the Lord in the air. What a meeting. What a meeting. What a glorious meeting. No wonder every born-again believer looks for the immediate return of his Lord back to earth. No wonder we don't look for signs. We look for Him. We look for Him who left heaven's glory and took upon Himself our humanity, that He might die as a substitute for us and bear our sins in His own body on the tree. What love! Let us give it to you from the Song of Solomon. Listen, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. In the Scripture, cedar is always a type of the humanity of the incarnate, virgin-born Son of God. Listen again. He made the pillars thereof of silver. That's redemption. The bottom thereof of gold. The foundation of that chariot is the deity of the Son of God. The covering of it, of purple, signifies royalty. In the midst thereof, being paved with love. The floor inside, being overlaid with the mosaic of love. What a chariot. He comes to take His bride home with Him. Are you ready to meet Christ? Oh, what a coming. What a revelation. Christ coming for His own. What time then you are satisfied with this world? When we meet Him in the air, He takes us to Himself and carries us back to His Father's home. And when the fourth chapter of Revelation opens, we next see them gathered around the throne set in heaven, where they say amen to God's just judgment upon this Christ-rejecting world who have believed Satan's lie. They sit with Christ, the Lamb slain, who is now laying claim to His right of ownership over this earth, as the one who is worthy to break the seals of man's title deed to the earth and redeem. Read that fourth and fifth chapter. Step by step, we follow Him through the night to the 19th chapter of Revelation as He utterly defeats the usurper, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. This reminds me of Psalms 91:8. Listen, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For we shall accompany him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19:4, as he returns to this earth to engage in final combat with Satan. There's not a shot fired, not a bomb dropped, but he descends in the midst and takes the Antichrist, the false prophet, cast him into the lake of fire, while the rest of the armies are slain with the sword that of him that sat upon the horse. Which sword proceeds out of his mouth? They are slain by the word, the breath that proceeds from his mouth, while he that sitteth in the heavens laugh. Psalms 2:4. Because he is declared from the beginning, the foundation of the world. Listen. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. In spite of Satan's fivefold, I will, in Isaiah 14:12-14, I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Yet God said, verse 15, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for such victory. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. 150 Psalm. This is the great hallelujah psalm for the coming of the kingdom of David's Son upon the earth in His millennial reign. Read the book of Revelation from the 4th chapter to the 19th chapter. And you'll see how God brings Satan to absolute defeat from the fourth chapter to the 19th chapter is yet to be fulfilled as we're coming to the close of the church age and God taking over. My friends, the church will not bring in the millennium. No, sir. The gospel will not bring it in. He'll give it. He'll give these kingdoms to his son. He said to his son, ask me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Oh, what a victory as we look to him. What a day of rejoicing. What a day, what a meeting when we're meeting in mid-air, when he comes in mid-air. What a time we'll come back with him as given in the 19th chapter of Revelation, riding with him in the armies of heaven as he comes to Mount Olivet there to bring defeat to the Antichrist.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast. It's been good to have been with you folks. The message by the late Pastor Shelton was the coming victorious Christ. Did you catch that? The victorious Christ. There's no victory except in Christ, my friend. Do you live a defeated life? Oh, God's child lives a victorious life. We look up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. Do you do that, my friend? The scriptures tell us to be thankful in all things. I don't care if how low you might get, you have something to be thankful for. And I tell my folks here, when you wake up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, say, thank you, Lord. Just take a few seconds. It don't take long. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, for a good soft bed. Thank you, Lord, for my wife over there laying there still asleep. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Oh, you got a lot to be thankful for. But the message you heard today was the coming victorious Christ. And it's number 385 by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. All of his messages now are in printed form, booklet form. And we do that ourselves. We print ourselves. And we send those out. We've about 1 million a year to all over the world. And folks are giving them out in the bus station, the railroad station, in a hospital, in a jail. But remember, the message you heard was the coming victorious Christ. And this is Pastor Albert Pindorvis inviting you to tune in next week at the same time. Hear another message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. And then call me if you would. My phone number is area code 225-664-8658. I'd love to hear from you. Most of all, pray for me. Would you do that? Would you make a concerted effort just to pray for the old trailblazer? Goodbye and God bless you.